chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sent it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Falkirk hearts were broken, but hearts weren't broken by the Bairns, as it was another defeat at Tynecastle, but there were some highlights, and we'll get to them as we talk about the match. Hearts versus Falkirk. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm John McNally, joined as ever by Ross Wayne.
Morning, buddy. You all right? How was your day out yesterday?
I missed the game, although I didn't get a ticket in the ballot. I still need to work out why I'm not getting emails for the ballot, but anyway, I was on a work day out anyway, so I wouldn't have made it anyway, but I was doing a sub crawl around Glasgow, so that was fun. Have you ever done a sub crawl, Ross?
No. Did I see Stephen Mill was there?
Stephen was there. Was
he talking about Dunfermline and doing well? Oh, no.
It was delightful. It was quite delightful. I was like, are you getting beat by our... Hold on, Stephen. Are you getting beat by Arbroath now? It was delightful. He hadn't realised as well that Aidan Nesbitt, and we'll speak about that in a minute, and Tom Lang were now at Arbroath as well. But it was much fun. I only made it around halfway, however, because I had to go back for a family do, so I had that yesterday night as well, but
what's the roughest pub on the sub crawl then?
In the sub crawl we took a skip at Shields Road and at West Street, because it's a bit of a toddle to the next pub. If you get off there, it's a bit of a walk. So we went to started off at Howdy's rather than Hoot and Annie's at the square at St Enoch, then the Lauriston, which is a class bar. Then we went to, where did we go after that? The Bedrock, Bell Rock in King Park, the Kensington at Cessnock.
I've been to that one. That was pre-Rangers a few years ago. We ended up in the Kensington,
And then I went to Bar Harmony in Govan, because Breakins, which is the normal stop there, we skipped Loudon, by the way, skipped Ibrox, but went to, in Govan, went to Bar Harmony, and we ended up, the bar across the road took cash only, so the kind of group split and we filtered into this bar, me and a few mates. And my very eager Kiwi friend Shane decided to get the lassie to put karaoke on, so we ended up just this really rough bar, giving steaming at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, doing karaoke. So myself and Shane, we did Summer Loving. It was beautiful. In this really rough pub, you can imagine a Kiwi man and me doing Summer Loving. And then Stephen Mill came in as well, and it was beautiful, actually. Stephen, if you don't know, he presents the show on Clyde, 1 and 4th 1 in the afternoon, Dunfermline supporter. He's been on this podcast. But it was just the timing that he put on a song, and he did You Can Call Me Al. But it was just the timing where the lassie introduced him and she started the song, and he just kind of walked and just grabbed the mic and just started, hit the first note, by on. But it was very, very funny. But yes, I bugged out and went to a family do after that. So it was probably for the best, because I've seen some of the pictures.
Was this one of those family days where you've turned up having had a good drink and then you're just slavering all the rest of the night?
I was acting sober. I was quite well behaved. It was a good day. How was Edinburgh? How was Tynecastle?
Yeah, so we got the Behind the Wall bus through. There was a few of us who got the bus through. Had a pint in Behind the Wall. Yeah, it was nice. Nice pint of Guinness. But it was a quiet one for me, football aside. Headed home, chilled evening, watched the Olympics. Firstly, I was gutted for the curling boys. Oh my God, I've never been so invested in something that's not football, and I was absolutely gutted for them. I actually think I'd be quite good at curling, by the way. I think I'd be quite good at it, because I've got
harder than you think, by the way. See the balance?
I get it, but I just think I'd be quite good at that, to be fair.
Right, okay, well there, we'll put that to the test. If anyone wants a game of curling, Ross is your man.
If we've got a cricket team, let's go
We'll get the cricket team. The cricket team's coming together really nicely, actually. Scott McDonald reached out, who's on the podcast. He's got about 4 players lined up, all Falkirk supporters. Like I say, Josh Heggie, the Falkirk commentary team are wanting involved. I've got a wicket keeper. We're all good. We're all good for this cricket match. And if we've got the steady cricket captain, I'm feeling confident. Never
Good.
played cricket in my life, of course. So you know, but you know, I can't. I don't think I can bowl. It's a lot harder than you think to bowl a
Yeah.
cricket ball. So we'll see how it goes. More
There we go.
details on that soon. We had a competition running on our socials to win a print from Matthew J. Wood. He does official club stuff now. It's a really nice one in the stadium. You can get that on his website or just check our socials, like and follow Falkirk Daft and Matthew J. Wood. Share the competition post to enter, and you could potentially be winning.
He has, and he sent us his latest one, John. This is
Oh,
one
have
at
you?
Brockville, and this has never been shown. So it's a bit of a Falkirk Daft exclusive. And I don't know how well it's going to show up, to be honest. In fact, it's not going to show up at all. Oh,
No.
yeah, you can. So it's off Brockville. There we
Oh,
go.
nice.
And it's the old shed at Brockville. And that is, it'll look better on our socials when we put it up.
Yeah.
However, this is an exclusive to Falkirk Daft. It will be launched when this podcast goes out, and that's going to be available on his website as well. And we'll do a like and share to win that one too.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple of we asked last week for loan 11s, Ross, and we've had a few in, haven't we?
We have, yes, some really, really good players. Some who I forgot were loans actually. So the first one we got was from Scott on X. So he's went with John. He's
Well.
went with Tim Krul in goals. Good choice. He's then got a back four of Philip Lisser, Luke Graham, Murray Wallace, who was loaned back to us from
Yes.
Huddersfield,
Yeah.
if you remember. Lee Mayer. And then a midfield of Ethan Ross, Dylan Tate, who obviously was on loan
Course.
initially, Davis Keillor-Dunn, and Arnaud Riera. Now, I didn't think Arnaud was on loan, but
He
maybe he
was.
was.
I look because I've done the exact same thing as
And you went with Arnaud as well, have
I
you?
went with Arnaud as well. I'm just trying to dig mines out as well, actually, because I've left my phone downstairs.
Oh,
So
you're okay. I've got a note of yours as well because you put it on our chat, didn't you?
yeah, that's
And
what I'm
then.
looking for. Yeah.
And then up front, he's went with Anthony Stokes, good choice again, and Declan McManus.
That's a good shout. I've got it here. I went for Casper and goals. I went. How did I go for it at the back? I went for Casper and goals. I'm just digging this out here. There it is. Casper and goals. Then I went for Philip Lisa, Luke Graham, and Murray Wallace. At the back as a kind of three centre halves. Then I went for Caelor Davis. I always get this right. Davis Keillor Dunn,
Yeah.
or Caelor Davis. It's Caelor Davis Dunn, isn't it? It's Caelor
No, it's
Davis.
Davis Keillor Dunn, isn't it?
Caelor Davis Dunn. Davis Keillor Dunn. Anyway, him in midfield, Riera, Dylan Tate, and I went for Kevin McAllister because Kevin McAllister was loaned to us from Chelsea, remember?
I thought this was loan players that we had saw, though.
What's that? That
I
we.
thought this was loan players that we had seen, though. Crunchy was signed permanently when you and I were
Well,
watching.
I guess I've cheated a wee
I'll
bit
give you
there.
it, though, because he was a loan player
Yeah.
before, wasn't he?
And then Anthony Stokes, Declan McManus, and Zach Ruddon up front. I went for
Good
three
choices.
strikers. There we
Good
go.
choices. The Hendo also got in touch, not Liam Henderson, but Hendo on X. He's not too far away, actually. So he's went with Casper in goals. Similar to you, a 3-4-3. He's went with Lissa, Luke Graham, and Murray Wallace. A midfield of Kyrell, Conor McGrandles,
Yeah, oh
Dylan,
God, how you got on
yep,
that, didn't I?
Dylan Tate, and Arnaud Riera, same as you. And then up front, he's also went with, well, I'm assuming it's Declan McManus and not Tam McManus. He's went with Declan McManus, Zach Ruddon, and Stokesy.
All right. Yeah.
So, will I give you mine then, John Boy?
Go on.
Right, here we go. So, I've got a couple of different ones in here. So, I've went with Casper in goals. I couldn't separate him and Tim, but I've went with Casper.
I've got you indicate Casper in his current form, that's for sure.
Well, no, that's true. Four man defence. So, I've went with Philip Lissa, Luke Graham,
Yeah.
Rhys Bennett,
Reece Bennett, what a shout.
who was on loan from
Arse
Bolton.
Bolton was it there?
And then Blaine Rowe, who was on loan for Coventry.
Blaine Rowe is a
I thought
wild
he was all
shout.
right. I thought he was a really good right back. I thought he was good. I've then went with three in midfield. One of these will not shock you. So Dylan Tate, Kyrell Wilson, and this is the outside one. I've put Max Kurechavy, remember from
Wee Max.
Me Facing Johnstone. I thought he was great.
You
And
love
then
Wee Max. You just thought he was the
I
next
did.
best thing.
I did. And then up front, I went with Anthony Stokes, which I think everyone has so far as well. Plus, I didn't go with Zach. I went a little bit left field. I went Alex Jakubiak.
Oh, the yak. There you go.
Yak.
That's not bad. Not bad. I die some wild choices there, Ross. But aye, not bad at all. If you want to keep your lone 11s coming in, feel free to do. Leave it in the comments below or get in touch via our social media. Thank you very much to our sponsor this week. It's Rumour Architecture. They've been on the go for 5 years, and obviously Ryan Marshall, head honcho there, is our friend. He was working at a local practice and then went off and set up his own thing. So they're one of only three fully chartered and accredited architects in the town. Done a number of projects. We've talked about them before. The houses where the old Polish cob used to be. Obviously, Mr. Crunchy Carrot's office himself, where the old Leckie shop was. Ryan did all of that. So if you're looking for a project, you're getting an extension on the house, you can get 10% off this, your project fee here. Ryan's going to give you 10% off. So if you want to get in touch with Ryan, just say Falkirk Daft sent you his way, and you'll get 10% off your fee. Thanks very much to Ryan for that, if I can spit the words out. And he'll speak to anyone. So if you want to get in touch with Ryan, rmar.co.uk, rmar.co.uk, and that's Rumour Architecture. It's proudly sponsoring Falkirk Daft this week. So thanks very much to Ryan.
Don, does that mean if he if Falkirk Football Club go to him for the fourth stand and it's a £35 million project, does that mean the club gets 3.5 million off?
Get 10 for 3.5 million off. Aye, there you
Quote
go.
Falkirk Daft.
Quote Falkirk. I would not put that past them. Why not? Save some money. But there you go. Quote Falkirk Daft, Jamie Swinney, if you're listening to this podcast, and you'll get a wee fee off the stand architecture. There you go. Good to go. Let's hope that happens. Cop news this week. Captain Call has just signed a new deal. Quite surprised about this one, I thought, with all the injuries he's had. But, we'll talk about his performance yesterday. He came on last week as well, did really, really well. I mean, like, he's not really had the chances to really test himself in the Premier League. So I'm guessing, from a perspective of having Call in and about the squad, it's a good thing, because we all know how influential he is in that dressing room, and he has been captain for the last, 3 seasons. So,
I think it's twofold, John. I think it's, listen, he's more than competent on the park. We saw that just yesterday. And from what he's done so far, like, he won every header yesterday. And I know he got booked, but it was a bit of a harsh booking, in my opinion, that he got yesterday. It's just fitness. He just needs to get his fitness back as well. And obviously, he cramped up a bit yesterday, apparently, hence why he went off. But the as much of he's a huge influence on the park, he's a huge influence off the park as well, from what we hear. He's the guy that the club and the team sort of need in and around the dressing room as well as on the pitch. I think he's having a bit of a Stephen McGinn effect. Remember when Stephen wasn't playing as much, but he still had that huge effect on the boys. I think that's similar with Cole as well.
No, so that was good. That would keep him potentially to 2028. I don't know where the year's extension lies with, if it's with Cole or with the club, in terms of extension. But no, great to see. Cole's a great guy, so it's good to see him committing to the club, and hopefully keeps injury free, and can get a run in the team. But again, it's really hard. But Hendo's obviously was our player of the year last year and has been outstanding this season. And then young Conor Allan, who obviously came off the bench yesterday as well, has really stood out at centre half as well. So, maybe injuries, Cole gets a run. We'll wait and see. But I would suspect, that I don't know if Hendo and Allan will be his first kind of choice at centre half. He kind of indicated that a wee bit. But again, Phillip, again, he played really well at centre half yesterday as well.
Did. Well, that's his natural. We need to remember that's
That is, yeah,
a
100%.
natural position. So, as John McGlynn has a tough question for next week, because as you said, like, Nielsen is back available, Hendo's back available. Do you play Lissa? Do you drop Adams? Does Leon keep his place? Does Philippe go into left back? Does Cole start? Does Connor start? It's we're not in a bad position defensively now. It's pretty strong.
I mean, I think from what I could tell, kind of the call signing split a bit of the supporters. A lot of people saying, "Oh, well, I don't know if he's up to this level." Then other supporters going, "Yeah, that's great, But it's kind of split. There wasn't a big fanfare made. You know how we usually do the kind of signing, but I think they probably did that because a lot of people been thinking, "Oh, is it Dylan Tate? Is Dylan Tate going to sign a contract?" And then Cole, obviously, they announced the news of Cole. So, but yeah, no, great to have Cole at the club for another couple.
There was
of
a lot of rumours at the stadium yesterday, John, about Dylan Tate. The amount of murmurings around.
I've heard rumours of Rangers. You know,
Queen's Park Rangers has also been chatted.
It's QPR. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe my rumours were wrong, and maybe it's Queen's Park Rangers that is. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's clearly a contract on the table for him. But if his numbers keep stacking up like it does, in analytical terms, you know, as far as I've heard, he's in terms of central midfielders, he's a central midfielder who makes the most forward passes in the Scottish Premiership. We all also know he's the most fouled player in the Scottish Premiership as well. But no, it wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, if he's getting all big money offers that we can't compete with, you know,
That's the difficulty. Listen, Dylan's been fantastic for us. We've been fantastic for Dylan as well.
Of course, I think he will be the first to hold his hands up and say that, you know?
Yep. So, listen, we'll see what happens. It would be amazing to have Dylan with us for the next few years. But if it's not, I don't see it being a bad departure. I think the fans will wish him well.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if he is leaving, and it is still a big if because he might sign a contract this week. If he does go, let's hope he goes as a Scottish Cup winner and a top six qualifier and whatever else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
I know. We'll wait and see what happens there. I mean, Leon McCann, someone was saying that Leon McCann's got another year to run, hasn't he?
I think so.
Leon's got another year to run because that's the other one. The other obvious, you know, but everyone else seems to be, apart from the loanees, everyone else is tied up till at least next season.
Yeah, we're doing okay with that.
Apart from, you know, I mean, there'll be a couple of the kind of fringe squad players that might not be.
Nicky might be out of contract.
That's a good point, actually. I bumped into Nicky, actually, yesterday when I was out for my dog walk, so I was chatting away to him. He was actually confident going into the Hearts game as well, so I think there was a bit of belief in the squad that they could do something.
Was he out buying fart powder for Scott Bain? Is
he? no, he was just, I think he must just go for a walk. So, you know that way though, it's like you get all flustered when you talk to a footballer. I've been in the lucky position where I've met a few like pop stars and what have you in the past, but see when it comes to like meeting a footballer, a Falkirk footballer, I'm just like, oh, hi Nicky, hi. Hope you have a good game today, Nicky. Hope you.
So. Yeah, it can't be any more awkward than your interaction with Sam Hart about 3 months ago.
No, it's like, well, Sam Hart, by the way, where's Sam Hart?
Well, he was on the bench yesterday.
He was on the bench yesterday, Jesus, again. I didn't notice that, buddy. Yeah, Sam Hart, welcome back to Falkirk. We've missed you. I've no idea where you've been. So we'll see what, hopefully, like you say, there was rumours that around the concourse about Calvin Miller and Liam Henderson as well, people looking at them, was there?
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear, it was just the Dylan Tate. I heard a couple of people behind me talking about it.
I hope if he does go, I do hope it's down south, because you don't want to, you know, it's that way. If you'd rather him go down south, you don't have to face him. Wait and see what happens with that. Dundee United Cup tickets are on sale now to season ticket holders. I've got mine, so do you get yours, Ross, as well?
Yep, all sorted. I saw there was some drama on when they went on sale for the North Stand season ticket holders and Kevin McAllister ones. I think they could buy them when they weren't meant to be able to, and then there was a bit of a faff.
Obviously, we're giving up the full North Stand to Dundee United, so there will have to be, if North Stand season ticket holders are going to take up a ticket, they'll be moved into the main stand, which probably means they'll have to shift out some of the hospitality. I suspect that, like our 1876 lounge, Ross, I suspect they will use the seats that are allocated to that.
Quite possibly,
the North Stand, because there's no other way. If everyone tries to take up their season ticket, you know, that's the only way they're going to squeeze everyone in.
We've still got holiday tomorrow and the rest of Sunday for people to buy season ticket seats. Looks like a good uptake though. from what I could see when I was in. So I think it'll be another very healthy crowd. Dundee United will sell out whatever they're given as well.
Aye, they will. They will. So it should be good. Friday night as well. So yeah, public sale tickets on Tuesday, and we'll find out what happens in terms of the arrangements probably by this time next week. Aidan Nesbitt's went out on loan to Arbroath. He's joined Big Sexy Tom up north. Again, Aidan just wasn't getting the game time that he probably deserved, to be honest with you, just because of obviously Louis Marsh, Ben Brosio coming into the squad. They've kind of, they're kind of in contention to play the 10. That's where Aidan's natural position is. So, not surprising that he's, I heard Jeremy Gunn talking about it just in terms of him going out and getting game time, and coming back for next season. Because you've got to remember, Aidan's got another year to run in his deal as well.
He does. So yeah, no, he definitely does need to go out and get some football played. Arbroath are challenging at the top. So similarly, what happened with Barnet? Hopefully he's gone into a, well, at the time Barnet went into a bit of a winning team. He wouldn't be now. But I think yeah, no, that's a good move for Aidan. You're right, you've got Ben there, Louis Marsh, Ethan Williams has just came back from his injury as well. So he would have found himself probably not even getting on the bench.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, Arbroath obviously gubbing Dunfermline yesterday. I'm just actually going to double check if Ethan came off the bench, if Aidan came off the bench or started
I think
yesterday.
he did. I think he got 20 minutes or so, I
Right.
believe.
Okay, there you go. So, aye, good luck, and hopefully that's great that they beat Dunfermline yesterday. So well done, Aidan and
Indeed.
Tom. Excellent work. Love
Good stuff.
that. Let's go into birthday corner now and say some happy birthdays. Let's kick it off with John Fraser, who is 93rd, 93 years old he is, on the 27th. Well done, John. Well done. 93 years old.
I was
Happy
waiting for you.
birthday. Happy birthday, John. Well, there
Every
you go.
time.
Main stand every home game. And he watches Falkirk Daft every week as well. There you go. Bloody hell.
Brilliant.
Well done, John. Spot on. And that's love from Laura, your son-in-law, Danny, and the dog, grand dog Reno. So happy birthday, John, from Laura, Danny, and the dog Reno. Happy birthday.
Superb.
93. Well done. Getting on to the game still. Well, that's brilliant.
That's superb, isn't it? And
Hope I'm when I'm
yeah.
93, I can do that. If I make it to 93, there's a very good little chance I'll make it to 93. So that's well done on on yourself.
We also had a message in saying, "Hi, John and Ross. Could you please wish my son Nathan Devoy a very happy 21st birthday on the 24th of February, which I think is Tuesday? And that comes from all the family, including your dad, Paul."
There you go, and happy birthday to two of our pals, Gary McLaughlin, the legend that is him, and Stevie Tate. Hope your mum gets well, Stevie. But aye, happy birthday to Gary and Stevie. I don't think they even listen to the podcast. Gary does. I don't know if Stevie listens to the
I
podcast.
don't know. We should test this and
Let's
see if we.
test it, Stevie. This is a test for you. If you get this message, let us know. There you go. But happy birthday to you.
John will buy you 5 pints if you've listened to this on
No,
recording.
that's absolutely not true. Players this week celebrating their birthday on the 23rd, Mark Miller. 24th, Big Crawford. He's turning 67. Bloody hell, he looked good for his age. He was in the lounge. Oh, 6'7". Shut up, that banner. But brilliant. He still looks cracking for his
He
age,
does.
Crawford. He still would. On the 20.
The last time he was in, he looked like some sort of Bond villain because he had like this turtleneck on. Well,
Aye.
really, he looked brilliant.
I know. So, remember Krasniqi? There's one for your loan 11. Imaldo
Yeah, he was what's that word? Shite.
Krasniqi. Was it Wolves he was on loan from? I can't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Sheffield. I've got Sheffield Wednesday in my head, but maybe
Well,
it was
he's
Wolves.
turned 23. Bloody hell. Remember, he
I
was
have
quite a
to
big.
check where is he now
You
because
go and
it's
check that. I'll go
probably
do this.
you keep
Josh
going with our
Wagner. I
players.
don't remember Josh Wagner. That must have been in my
Oh,
Newcastle
you
days.
do no, he was 2008, John. He was one of the it was backup keeper in the Premier League.
All right. Okay. There you go. So he's 41 on the 26th. And Tommy Tyau turns 36. Wonder what Tommy's up to now. He was a great player for us. Tommy
Right,
Tyau.
Arnaldo Krasniqi
Right.
is playing for Enfield Town.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go.
I wonder where was he on loan from? Let's have a look. I think it was Sheffield. Oh, it was Huddersfield.
Huddersfield, right? There you
It was
go.
Huddersfield.
There you go.
Still shite, though.
Still shout. 27, Tommy Tow, as I say, turns 36. And 28, Tam McManus. That can't be right, Ross. You've written down 45. There's no way Tam McManus is 45. You've done your maths. You've dropped a five. You've dropped a
And
10 there. It must be
I could have,
55.
I could have. No, listen, that might be right.
No, Tam McManus is not 45 years
Right,
old.
I'm
You
gonna
look
have
up
to check it.
that.
I'm gonna have
I'm
to check
thinking it'll
it.
be 55. Brian McLean is 41. And Ross McKeever is 27.
Mate,
Happy
right,
birthday, Ross.
you owe me an apology. Tammy McManus was born on the 28th of February, as we've just said, 1981. He's 45 this
Oh
week.
my God, he's had a hard paper round this, Tam McManus.
Oh,
sorry, Tam. Ross McKeever, our very own Ross McKeever, hopefully back from injury soon. He's 27, so happy birthday, Ross, for the 28th as well. And Fraser Wishart, my pal, obviously played for us, one of the few players to move from Falkirk to Rangers. There you go. Fraser Wishart turns 59, was a very good player back in the day for Falkirk and scored in that 6-0 win at Brockville against Hearts as well, as he likes to keep
very,
telling. He
very
likes
good.
to tell me. I saw him at. He's regularly at the stadium doing stuff for Super Scoreboards, Fraser, and he loves coming and watching Falkirk. So I was chatting to him last week. Well, I was chatting to him during the week for work reasons, but he was at the stadium for the Dundee United game. Him and Ian McCall. Ian McCall was doing the BBC
Oh,
and
yeah.
Fraser was doing that. So they've obviously played in the same team as well. So having a bit of gas in as well. So happy birthday! I must
Fraser's
remember.
just.
And I must remember to wish him a happy birthday when on the first as well. So happy birthday, Fraser. Let's go on then and say thanks to Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. Ross was in there yesterday, and you were telling me they've got Tennent's Pilsner on tap now.
They do, yes. I didn't have it yesterday, but when I was in last weekend, I tried it, and it's a little bit different from regular Tennent's. If you're a fan of Tennent's, you might like it, but yeah, it's a little bit different, crisper. I would say I'm not a lager connoisseur, in terms of like flavors and all that stuff,
I quite like that. It's crisper. I like that. That's good lager talk. I like
but
it.
yeah, no, so they've got that on draft now as well. So if you're going for a Tennent's, you might get offered a wee alternative.
There you go. Bus seats for Kilmarnock are on sale now. If you're wanting that, so obviously that's the usual £5 return. Get your name down at the bar and you get your pint on return. ABBA Tribute Night's happening on the 27th of March. And of course, they're running buses to take that to Hampden in June. So £15 return for that. If you're heading to take that, we've already discussed our favourite Take That songs on this podcast. We don't need to go further into that. And of course, you can try the Falkirk Daft Venom if you haven't done already. It's original to Behind the Wall. There are some alternatives getting made in Grangemouth, so I've heard. But this is the original and the best. My mate was actually in Behind the Wall the other on Friday, and he messaged. Oh, in fact, it was last night. He messaged me saying, well, "Should I try this Falkirk Daft Venom?" I haven't had a report back from him. He was through from Glasgow. I don't know why he was in Behind the Wall. He's probably on a date, but aye, he's
Venom was probably the drink that tipped him over the edge and he didn't make it home.
yeah, exactly. So I'll get a report back from Albie about you said there's a Bairns bomb. I've never tried that. There's a thing called the Bairn a Bairns bomb, he was saying as well.
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a new one.
I've
Was that
not
a cocktail as well, is it?
I think so. It must be a short. Must be
Oh,
a
yeah, it's
short.
close,
So
right.
I'll get a report back from him on that. But for anything happening behind the wall, you want to head to behindthewall.co.uk and you get, like I say, if you want to get on the bus for Kilmarnock, get in touch with the bar and they will sort you out with a seat for that next week. All right, then let's talk about Hearts now and let's do it in the company of former Falkirk TV commentator, our mate Libby.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for
Well, the
coming
prep.
back, mate. We've not scared you off.
Not at
Been
all,
on
not
here
at all.
several times and obviously stepped into Ross's shoes and points as well. Lewis, what was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you about being the luckiest man in Scotland. I believe you've got tickets for the World Cup final and several of the group games and several of the knockout games and now are
Yeah,
bankrupt.
the most bizarre experience I've ever had, the way FIFA ran the tickets, to keep it short for people who are not interested. Basically, you had to decide in December what games you would go to if Scotland were still in the competition. Otherwise, you can't buy them on a game-by-game basis. So if you get out of the group, for example, in June, you can't say, yeah, I want a ticket to the next round. It's just tough. So the most bizarre experience of my life is me as a Scotland fan in December 25 having to order a ticket all the way up to and including the World Cup final. Now, how's that for optimism? But I was very lucky that Infantino got a wee bit of stick and then released those
cheap tickets late on, and thankfully my points qualified for that. So honestly, I've gone from, I think it was 6.5 grand for 8 games, and I'm now like 380 quid for 8 games.
380 quid for three ga eight ga
For eight games.
that's mental.
So
Wow.
honestly, it's because they did that late change. Cat fours were only for Americans months ago, and then he finally, and to put it in context, guys, it equates to something like about 100 tickets per nation in the whole thing per game. So it's a tiny percent. It's such a shame there's not a bigger allocation for participating fans, because it's
So
only
you're
two
going
and
to
a half
stay out
thousand.
for the duration regardless anyway, then?
I'll stay for as long as we're in it, basically.
Ah, so
And
you won't, so if we're not at the, well, later stages, you'll just move the tickets on. Can you do that?
well, no, they're linked directly to Scotland because they're what they call participating member association tickets. So they
Right.
are linked to our progression.
Right, okay.
Ah,
Okay,
so at
right.
the point we get eliminated, essentially, I'll get a refund for
All
the
right, I
rest of
see.
that.
Right, aye.
Right,
So the seat's not going to just go empty.
correct. So they've
Right.
basically
That's
got,
fine.
what they've done is they've basically sold those games like
Multiple
38
times.
times over.
Right.
They've
Okay.
sold the final 38 times over.
Oh wow,
Because the money will all sit in an account for 5.5 months getting interest.
course it will. Of course it will.
Signed, Donald J. Trump. I
Wow.
can't say anything about that because obviously there's now a social media check before you enter the USA. So I would just like to officially say that I've always thought he was a lovely guy.
He listens to this podcast, man,
Never,
so you know.
never doubted him, and everything he's doing is fantastic.
So because we are not going to America, we can call him a cunt.
I mean, if you don't want to go to Disneyland again with the girls, that's all right.
Ross is trying to get an excuse to get out of cheerleading competition, so he's on social media
Oh,
all
actually, I
the
forgot about that. I'm
time.
now I'm going there next, not this year, but next year, actually.
I just this would be a get out and save your fortune, Ross. Just mock Donald Trump on social media, and you can
So.
obviously save some cash going to cheerleading competitions. Right, okay, you two were at the game yesterday, as I mentioned before. I was at the in Glasgow doing a sub crawl. Couple of changes from the team, obviously enforced. Nielsen couldn't play for his parent club, and obviously Hendel was suspended. Ridiculous. But before we talk about the Willie Colum, what doubling down on that red card. And then that's the thing, it's like obviously you saw the one against that Motherwell had against Aberdeen, and because Hendo's happened the week before, the referee's got to give a red because
Yeah.
that's what was made the week
Do
before.
you know the worst part about the Willie Colum show though, with the Hendo bit, is it's like, see if he'd said, right, listen, we're just following the rules. You can almost go, fair enough, right? But that's not what he said. He says, because we gave Trusty a red card, every other scenario now is a red card. So because Celtic player got a red card, now everything's a red card in the same scenario. Rather than just going, we fucked up against Celtic, there we go.
Yeah,
Different.
it absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, you saw, did you, I don't know if you saw Dundee United's one against Spartans, which I think was the worst of the three
That
as
was bad
well.
as well. That
Yeah,
was bad.
terrible decision. I mean,
The
that
only
was,
thing I
I
would
love the
say,
karma. I love the karma aspect of it, but still.
the worst bit of the Willie Colum show, I thought, was the fact that it's got Willie Colum on it. But that's just me.
Shout out to the Falkirk fan on X who had mocked him up as a clown on the show. Did you see that? Brilliant.
I know, I
But
know.
it's because, like you say, John, it's a rod for their own back now, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, 100%. But aye, so Henderson was ruled out. When you had John saying there was no point in appealing it because it wasn't going to work. And it's a terrible decision. But anyway, we've talked about that last week. So aye, Keelan Adams in it right back, and they moved Philip Lisa into the middle. Cole Dawson came back in after coming off the bench last week, and Kyrie Wilson started ahead of Louis Marsh. Thoughts on that team? I thought that was probably the way to go. With Lisa going in at centre half and Keelan going it right back.
Yep,
Yeah.
I think
It
so. Go on,
made
Ross.
sense, didn't it?
No, it did. I think I don't know if it was Lewis and I that were talking about it just before kickoff, or it was Al, but I think there wasn't too many alternatives. Like Conor Allan, as we now know, had a really bad head injury prior to Dundee United, so he had to be sort of not quarantined for a week, but looked after for a week, and then he's obviously only just been able to make the bench. But I was quite happy with the team, to be honest. Yeah, no, Lewis, you the same.
Yeah, I think when we're all discussing it beforehand, I think defensively there's probably nothing more John really could have done. I believe part of the issue with Connor was the fact that, there is, if there's any risk of concussion now, a player has to be kind of, as you say, quarantined for a bit just to check there's no ill effects. And thankfully, Connor now looks like he's on the mend and he'll be back in contentions. But defensively, yeah, I don't think John really could have changed anything. I think it made sense. We all predicted the kind of the back four and keeper. We knew who the two midfield pivots were going to be. I mean, it would be Barney up front. So I think the only debate pre-match was what three you picked in behind the striker. And Calvin's always going to be there. So basically, two slots were up for grabs and four guys were after it.
Yeah, we started off really bright. I mean, in fact, the first half in general, until we lost the goal just in the brink of half time, I thought we looked really, really good. Certainly, go by the highlights. Were you guys impressed by how we did in the stadium?
Yes, we dominated the first half. I know there's some Hearts fans who disagree with that. I thought we dominated them completely in the first half. And Lewis and I talked about it at half time. Just decision making and finishing really was the only downside. And I think John McGlynn talks about that on his post match interview as well. That we did everything bar score. You have three, four good chances, which I'm sure we'll talk through. But you need to be putting one minimum, one of those away. If you want to leave Tynecastle with a point or three, and we just unfortunately didn't do it. But I thought I was so impressed with how we played in that first half. Just that final ball, final pass, final decision making to shoot. That was for me the struggling point.
Yeah, I think I can echo that as well. I think, I go back to the point. Watch the highlights of the first 4 minutes. We have two chances, one on 2 minutes, one on 4 minutes, that on another day, you're off to a fantastic start. And it's just that kind of recurring theme of we don't have a clinical cutting edge at the moment. One of the guys I was at the game with was a neutral fan yesterday. It was interesting. Hearing some of his comments before and after during the game and whatnot. And he was saying he thought we look really well coached, we're really well structured, we caused Hearts a lot of problems. There was one player he singled out for a bit of praise, one player he singled out for a bit of stick. He says, but ultimately it's about scoring goals. He says, and sadly that's the bit that I think as Falkirk fans, we know this all season. Stepping up to this level, we're just not quite as ruthless as we should be. But you know what? I think we've had a fantastic season, and that's something that we all know can be potentially addressed in the summer. And maybe with Ben Parkinson coming in, he might be the solution to that. I think I only really know two things about Ben at the moment. The critics say he's slightly lightweight, but my answer to that one is I like the fact he is competing with centre halves, even when he knows he's not going to win the ball. He's still letting them know he's in a game. They're in the game, sorry. Secondly, his movement looks really, really good. And the two goals that he's had have both come from that. He knows he's not going to outmuscle a 6'5" centre half, but he knows he can move quicker than them and faster than, So getting across that centre half, if we can supply him, I think he might get goals. But it's just such a shame that the guy basically comes in, gets a couple of sub appearances, and then is out for a few months.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Beno has to offer when he gets in, because realistically, we're then going to have three people competing for that number nine with Ben, Ross, and Barney. Talking about Barney, big chance for him, a couple of chances for Barney. There was one where he cut inside and he hit a pretty relatively weak shot at the Hearts goalkeeper, but there was a great square ball onto Calvin Miller at the back post that he should. I was screaming when I was watching the highlights, like, square it, And I think looking back on it, Barney's probably cutting himself up a wee bit about it, because there was a great ball into Calvin Miller was running in and goal to potentially put it in the back of the net.
It was a huge chance, and you do wonder if that maybe affected the second half scenario, which I know we'll come to in a minute. But he, in fact, I don't know if it was even on the highlights, to be fair, but there was a one-on-one in the second half where he looks as if he's in two minds whether he have a shot or pass it, and you wonder if that situation in the first half, the first few minutes, maybe clouded his judgment a little bit, because obviously, for anyone who's watched the post-match interview with him, as you said, John, he's absolutely gutted that he didn't take at least one of the chances, and you do feel for him. It was a it's a hard watch. I think it should people should watch it though, because you can see how he cares and
Well,
feels about the game and how it went.
let's hear from it once we come to, we usually feature the manager, but let's listen to that interview once we get to it, because you feel sorry for Barney. I mean, he's done so well. I mean, even like obviously got his hat trick against Hibs. He had the assisted had an assist last week as well. Let's not forget that in terms of goal contributions. Against Livingston, he had an assist there as well. So he's been contributing. It's just like you say, it's find that just that little clinical edge. We had the kind of header in the second half as well, which was it was a hard header to take, but he was kind of leaning back in it, and but yeah, I guess. Barney, as we all know, is raw, and he keeps getting better though. He does keep getting better.
He's a work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely,
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%.
And it's it is great to see him. I mean, I'd love to see that hat trick against Hibs was brilliant, and seeing the delight of the big man. Easiest hat trick to score, but he was in the right place at the right time, doing what number nines do, and he just needs to find, I guess, that cutting clinical edge and just a better decision making. But that will come with experience.
His own dad said that.
It really will, John. It really will, and I think he's putting himself in positions that you want him to be in, and it's just that final step there. And we know he can do it. He showed it, like the goal against Stenhouse in the cup was a fantastic header, to be a decent goalkeeper as well. So he's putting pressure on himself, which isn't a bad thing. But obviously, when you watch the interview, he's maybe taking it a wee bit more personally than maybe like Brian Graham would. I don't think, but do you know what I mean? And that's no disservice
Yeah,
to
Brian
Barney.
was
But I
daft,
think,
don't give a shit.
I don't know if you would see Brian or Gary Oliver or maybe one of the more experienced players like taking as much ownership for yesterday. Because listen, why we didn't score yesterday, it wasn't just down to Barney. And I think, whereas if you watch when we watched the interview, it almost feels like he is taking the sort of the blame for
I do feel,
it.
listening to the BBC interview with John McGlynn, that he did throw him a wee bit under the bus, poor Barney. So I wonder if he's, but
Oh, I've
John's
not
had.
seen that one. I've not seen that one.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that one either.
I did feel he got a wee bit of brunt. I mean, he name checked him, but I don't know if he was having a specific. He was more chance talking about the chances that Barney had. But yeah, we had our chances in that first half. Could have, should have, maybe have taken one of them and put a bit of pressure on Hearts and certainly that crowd. But they get the goal at the wrong time, just before half time. It's one of these goals. It's taking a wee nick on the way through. It's not getting through if it doesn't take that nick. And then he toe pokes it past the keeper. But you're going to, we again, Hearts, like Rangers, like Celtic, if you don't take your chances, you're ultimately going to find yourself at the end of
Yeah,
a loss.
we said that at the time. We said, as soon as we missed that third or fourth chance in the first half alone, we kind of said, look, you can't miss four chances like this at
We
Tynecastle,
saw it against Celtic as well.
Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, any team like that. You can't miss four chances in the first half and then expect that, there's that dread of, right, there's 5 minutes to go to half time. We need to kind of see it, and lo and behold, it falls. And I remember I bumped into Barney's dad pre-match and again at half time, and just what you said regarding decision making is exactly what his own dad, was saying. He said, they're doing well, they're playing well, they're causing Hearts problems, and this is from a boy who's a jumbo, but happy to admit that we were causing them all kinds of problems. But as he said himself, he said it's just, decision making in the final third to be a little bit more clinical and ruthless. But yeah, sadly, when that ball got the ricochet, and I think it's Dylan it falls in front of. And I don't know if Dylan's not sure of, because it's taken a deflection, how much weight is still on the momentum of the ball. And it looks to me like at first he's trying to just shield it, thinking that the ball might potentially run out of play or back towards the keeper. And it wasn't until I watched the highlights again, I thought, actually, could he have just hoofed that behind straight away. It's an interesting one when you watch it again, but ultimately, yeah, one chance and the damage is done.
Yeah, in a terrible time it was a goal. Because what was the atmosphere like in the stadium? Were the Hearts supporters seemed quite nervous?
I thought they
Yes.
were quiet. Ewan messaged me yesterday or last night and asked what the crowd was like and stuff. And I said that to him. I said, listen, they were quiet until they scored. And then even in the second half, I thought like Tynecastle's normally quite a raucous place, and it wasn't really until the last 5 minutes that they came alive.
Two songs,
Two
65
songs.
minutes and
Aye.
91 minutes.
Yeah.
That
So
tells its own story.
we did silence the crowd. We did do our bit yesterday. And listen, I know I've said this a few years ago, but we don't lose, we learn. And I think yesterday's one that we need to kind of
Fucking
take.
hell, have you got
Ugh.
that? Well, you Jesus Christ.
A
Listen,
straight out the
that is a
Martin
poster
Rennie
on your.
playbook, isn't it?
Oh my
No, but
God.
listen, we do. That
Live,
is
learn,
exactly what.
love.
This is exactly what
We
we need to
don't
do.
lose, we learn. Oh my God.
Oh,
That's the title of this week's episode.
but we do.
Jesus.
That's exactly what we need to do. And whether it's Barney, whether it's Dylan, whether it's Brad, because there'll be a few players yesterday going, "Oh, we could have done that." Calvin as well, could have done this, should have done that. Just take it into the next game. We've now got what, 5 games left pre-split. How many of them are going to top 16? So you've got Rangers,
Most.
Motherwell. Is it just Rangers and Motherwell?
Aberdeen, Aberdeen away.
Well, Aberdeen's bottom six. I
Of
was
course,
going with that.
sorry,
Sorry.
God.
Is it just the two of them? Yeah. So Kelly, Aberdeen, and St Mirren are the other ones. So we've got a huge opportunity, and it's still in our hands to like we could be nailing on sixth place this time next week, depending on how this
I
Aberdeen
think
and
one more
United
win.
game
I
is on
think
Tuesday.
one more win does it. One more win does it, especially the results went our way yesterday with obviously Dundee United dropping points against Kilmarnock and Aberdeen getting beat. So I think one more win effectively puts us top six, I would
I
say.
don't know if you saw the there was something put out by the Scotland's coefficient Twitter feed
I did see
yesterday,
that, yeah.
and there was something else about maybe about a fortnight ago, maybe a bit more. I think it was the Byline data analysis site, and it was saying that historically, if you look at the average of the pre post sort of the split
Yeah.
total for the last 5 years post COVID, I think they said the average was like 41.9. So
Yeah.
basically 42 points. There
For
was
one win.
one year you needed 43 would kind of put you safe. The way it's going, 42 might be enough. So we're no far away. That Kelly game is going to be massive.
Yeah, 100%. Second half, we get into it. Kyrie Wilson looks like he picked up a knock. Louis Marsh came off the bench. Has anyone heard anything about
John's just said, I can't remember if it was this one of the newspapers or the, in fact, it was the Falkirk Herald this morning. He says Kyrell and Cole are just precautionary. They're not bad. They've taken a knock, and he's subbed them just to make sure that they're going to be fine. But it was particularly gutting because Kyrell was probably alongside Leon, in my opinion, was our two best players for the time that they were on the pitch on Saturday.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
yeah,
was
yeah.
really struggling. Couldn't decide between a man of the match between the two of them. I thought Leon was great, but I thought Kyrell just was causing them so many problems. And what I've realised is he got a little bit of stick at times for maybe not having the most end product. Then he pops up with a goal, you know, with Livy. But in terms of needing to find more of our men with his crosses or assists, goals, that kind of thing. But the one thing I've really learned in the last kind of 5, 6 weeks about Kyrell is it changes our entire shape when he's not on the pitch. Because immediately when he goes off, defences push 5, 10, 15 yards further up the pitch. When he's there and his pace frightens the life out of defences and they cannot hold a high line against him.
Yeah, I mean, there was that chance where he was just kind of running right on, you know, in the first half where he was rushing through the park. And you think, just go, keep going, keep going. Because his air is just absolute pace galore. So good to see here that it's just precautionary. Good to see Ethan Williams back in the squad and coming off the bench as well. What do you make of his performance?
He obviously didn't have long. I thought the subs were well timed because we had 20 minutes to go when he made
By the way,
like
Brad Spencer
42.
got subbed off. I don't know what John McGinn was is. I mean, his favourite son. He's taken his favourite son off. That's.
No, he got booked, John, and it was.
Yeah.
I think he was worried. Like, obviously, Cole had been booked as well. Granted, Cole went down, but I just think it was because Brad had been booked.
Yeah.
for that reason. But I thought Ethan, do you know, like Kyrell, he's got a bit of pace about him though, and I did think they were a little bit concerned when he came on because he did get a little bit of joy down the right hand side. I think it was maybe just the once he beat his man, and the rest of the time he got the defender was kind of they were kind of doubling up on him. But I thought he did okay. It was good to see him back because he is definitely a another good option to have, whether it's a starter or coming off the bench.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think you like it, obviously it comes with pedigree. Manchester United, I've talked about it in this podcast. Like, he's probably got the best touch of anyone in that Falkirk side. But it'll be interesting to see, get him back into the squad and how he can affect, because at points he did look really, really good, Ethan Williams. So I just hope he can just kick on and hopefully the injury's not
Do you think we
affecting
should
him
be
too much.
playing him in the 10? Because that's where he played for Man U. So, like, why? I don't think we've seen him in the 10, really. He always seems to be on the wing for us, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Agreed.
I'd be interested to see. I mean, we've got obviously we talk about Ben Brosio. What his performance yesterday? He obviously came off as well. Was
I
he
thought he
look at you?
started very brightly, Ben. And actually, it was one of the games where he was more involved in the first half. I think it got to about 35, 40 minutes and he was kind of dipping out slightly. The only slight criticism, to be clear here, was just second half. He wasn't as involved as I thought he would be, kind of faded a bit. But, it's a young lad up here to kind of learn. If he was the finished article, respectfully, he'd be on the bench for Villa. He wouldn't be with us. He's got ability, you can see it. I think there's maybe just a wee bit more to come from him and Louis Marsh at the moment, but like you can't be harsh on them when they're young lads and they're here to learn, get game time.
Is there a coincidence that Louis Marsh's form has dipped since they started singing about him having shite hair?
Who
Well,
knows?
maybe it's an SOS we need. If there's anybody who owns a salon watching this, sort Louis Marsh out. If you're a Bairn, get the curtains gone. Sort this out. Let's get him back on form.
Or just change the words to the song. He's got good hair, and we don't care. That's a simple solution. There you go. Matt might inspire his form back to what it was. Scott Bain again with. Like, it just goes to show how good number one. He had a couple of really good saves, Scott Bain as well, and just his distribution. I keep saying it's brilliant and it's a joy to watch. Scott Bain, and it's like again, just you feel again feel sorry for Nicky because he's done nothing wrong to lose his spot. But again, when you've got a player like Scott Bain available, and I think when we signed him, there was a lot of people going, "Oh, I'm not too sure." About that, but I think he proves how important having that experience number one is at the back,
I
because I
think
thought
the thing.
go
Sorry,
on.
Ross, you go first.
No, I was just going to say, I think the one thing, and this is I need to be better at this as well, is he's so calm under pressure. He doesn't care what's like. He trusts his defenders like 100%. So if he's playing a ball out, there's no question of it. Whereas I think, like, and I'm happy to be included in this. Like, there was points yesterday. I'm thinking, why are you playing that ball? But actually, at 9 times out of 10, it does work, and he's retaining possession. He's starting plays, like he puts pressure on his he sprinkles pressure on his fucking cereal, Scott Bain. So he just needs to just I need to learn. Fans need to learn because there's that collective like that gasp when he does something. But listen, he's a classy, classy goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's something I was going to come at it just from the opposite angle, but similar thing, and just say that, I do feel sorry for Nicky because Nicky was probably our most improved player last season. We did need him an established, sorry, established, experienced keeper to come in and get the best out of both of them. But I think for me, I think having Scott Bain there actually gives a lot of confidence and comfort to the defence because I think they know when they're playing that ball back because he is so good on the ball and his distribution, as you said, Ross, 9 times out of 10 is spot on. Like, I think it's quite reassuring for the defence and they look comfortable knowing they've got that option behind them to kind of build out from the back and do that wee triangle, break the line, and away they go. I agree that there's what you're saying about that sort of gasp moment because. Like for years, I always said, and apologies if he ever sees this, but like I thought Scott Higgins was the worst man I'd seen in sticks for us. And I never thought I would see anybody as bad as that. And then I'm afraid to say that along came Leo Fazan, aka the Civ, right? And God forbid, like think back to that period, and a ball was played back to either of those guys, and a striker's chasing them down. You would have been apoplectic in the stand. You'd almost have been having like a cardiac with a dread as the striker bore down on them. So, aye, it's a world of a difference, and it's a massive asset to the team.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. Was it to be though? 1-0, Hearts, squeezed it out. Was that a fair reflection of the game? Because Hearts had obviously had the second half, we had the first half. A draw probably the fair result, do you think?
I would say so. I thought we were worthy of a draw. I don't think we deserved to win the game. I thought we were the better team in the first half. They were the better team in the second half. I think if Barney had scored that late chance, I don't think we'd seen Hearts like moan that. Well, I'm sure McInnes would have moaned because he moans all the time. But I don't think he would have said, "Oh, it's an unfair scoreline." That's the only thing.
Robbery, and at least Dick Turpin wore a mask. There you go. I reckon we could have been a couple of goals up in that first half. Sadly, decision making and finishing cost us and came back to bite us. But the fact that we left that stadium without anything is a
Shows
travesty.
how
But
far we've
hey,
come that we're disappointed.
as exactly as I said to you when we were walking out the turnstile at the end of the game, cast your mind back like 3 years. And we're playing the likes of Peterhead and Alloa and Montrose and going through some pretty tough times. In the last 6 weeks or so, I now find myself walking out a game away at Tynecastle against a team sitting top of the Premier League in this country, gutted that we've not won or at the very least taken a draw. And likewise, what was it, 5, 6 weeks back, whenever it was, we hosted Celtic at the Falkirk Stadium. Should have been 3-0 up before they even scored. So it just shows the progress in the last 2.5, 3 years, and long may it continue.
There's big clubs getting pumped off our broth. We need to think about how fortunate we are to be where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And just remember, we don't lose,
Don't lose,
we learn.
we learn. Indeed.
Exactly. Let's hear from Barney in that interview you alluded to, Ross. See what he had to say after the game.
Barney, what were your takeaways from that 90 minutes? Disappointed. I thought the team started the game really well, created some good chances. Could have been better in front of goal, and that's mainly talking about myself, to be honest. But I thought the chances that we did create shows that we can compete at this level. Especially first half, there was obviously a lot of decent chances, a lot of kind of, it looked like we could hurt Hearts. How much can we take from that going forward? Well, we've shown that we're a top six side at least, but I mean, we're walking away disappointed from a loss. And in that first half, we moved the ball quickly, played with like a real stride in our step. And if we take one of them chances, it's completely different outcomes. So we let ourselves down a little bit, but. Can't dwell on it too much. We've got big games coming up, and especially next week.
And at the end of the day, it is away to the team that is top of the league. They're top of the league for the reason they with an ability to grind out results like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's top of the league, but we're showing that we can compete. And it's gutting. And I know, like, obviously, walking away from top of the league away, gutted to lose isn't normal, but. The way we played, especially in the first half, it's just I've let myself down and let the teams down a little bit, because if we take at least one of them chances, we'd come away with a point, 3 points, and yeah, so you can only apologise for that.
Oh, I just
Oh,
want to give him a big
let's just
hug.
give a big hug.
Oh, Barney, don't put it on yourself, mate. It's a team game.
That's
And
a
just
listen. That's a tough watch, but I think it's.
see if you were in Ross, it'd have been all right. You'd have been able to say, "Don't worry, Barney. Don't worry. We don't lose. We learn."
It was a tough watch, though, innit? But I
Oh.
think it's an important watch for people because listen, he wasn't the reason why we didn't win yesterday.
Yeah, of course
it was
not.
It wasn't just on him. But you can see the pressure that he's obviously putting himself. I think I'm far from a body language expert, but like that's the first time you've ever seen Barney. Like, you know how you think of Barney as like a smiley, happy, cheery chappy, joking away with the interviewer. That's the first time I think Falkirk fans will have seen him like that.
He looks a bit dejected, doesn't he?
I've not seen him as depressed since the day he signed for Dunfermline back in October.
Do you know what? The flip side of that, though, is you know, I was lucky enough that I used to do that kind of thing with interviews and whatnot. And the one thing I picked up on there is fair play to him, because for a, what is he, 21-year-old lad still?
Yeah.
To be mature enough to take full accountability for what he deems as his own actions, fair play to him. Totally. You know, he's clearly beating himself up there, arguably a bit too much for the reasons we've said. So, you know, if you are watching, get your head up, Barney. You know, the fans are still behind you, don't worry. But fair play to him for actually coming out and owning that himself. And, you know, all he can do now is go back into training and channel that in the right way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, he'll probably, it's more likely he'll start against Kilmarnock next week as well. I've no doubt. I did see a few fans saying that Brian Graham maybe should have come on for the last 15 minutes.
Well, we've made up for
It was the fact that I think we had that injury to Cole.
Yeah.
Changed things. Suddenly Conor Allen had to come off the bench.
So, yeah, Brian probably would have come off the bench if...
Would have had we had a sub.
Just for fresh legs at the end, yeah.
I'll get all the goss. He's in doing Super Scoreboard this week, so I'll get all the goss from him on Tuesday. Let's hear what you guys had to say on the game. Elsa kicks us off, says, can't fault level of performance. In the first half, we edged it, but lack of clinical decision-making with the final ball is the reason why we didn't have a couple of goals. Hearts better in the second half. Bain made crucial saves. Says a lot that I'm disappointed we lost 1-0. Onwards.
Indeed. Yiddleburn says, good performance, just some final third decisions and could have been a different would have had little complaints if the game had been a draw, just as we said earlier.
Linda says, good performance, especially first half, however our deliveries and final ball were poor and lost count of the amount of headers we lost. Could have played for another night and still not scored, to be honest. On to Kelly and hopefully 3 points. Thought the ref was decent for a change. There you go, but credit to the referee.
Again, I think if you ask Hearts fans, they probably disagreed with that.
I think he frustrated both sets of fans, though.
I didn't think he had a brilliant game. It was the same ref we obviously had against Dundee, I think it was, just literally 10 days ago, was it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the only thing that annoyed me about Hearts yesterday, because I think I've said it before, I want Hearts to win the league, right? Not to the detriment of Falkirk. I wanted us to win yesterday, obviously, but the Hearts fans seem to have got themselves in a little bit of an entitlement situation. Like,
100%. I got a message, but I bumped into Monkle, who's a Hearts supporter at the train station, on his way out. Him and my cousin Neil, we were going to the game with Wee Bert, and usually, obviously, after the cup game, I gave it a wee bit, in the old group chat to him. But he messaged me after the game, obviously quite rightly, to get back at me, saying we should have scored 5 goals. And I was like, what game were you watching?
I've had a few Hearts fans reply to me on Twitter this morning saying, you know, oh, we're so amazing, we could have played without a goalkeeper, and a 1-0 actually flatters you. It's like, piss off, condescending shite, right? Honestly, it's like a way and ram it. You know, half of them, not even at the game. So fair play to the ones who actually said, you know what, A, you came and played decent football, B, you caused us problems, and, you know, you came away to a stadium like that, didn't they park the bus like certain other teams do? And, you know, all that's down to John McGlynn.
Yeah,
totally agree. Vaughn says, our pal Vaughn, good overall team performance, just lacked the finish in the final third. We did ourselves proud and gave them a game. 3 points needed next weekend.
So we need 3 more points, I think, for the top six. Jay Penman, Progio is a touch of class and needs to play central. Louis Marsh, too lightweight, and the game passes him by. Great effort by all. Proud to be a bit of him.
Yeah, AK. I disagree.
Yep, no, I agree. AK says, final third decision making was poor, however, a good performance.
And finally, Paul says, better team in the first half and should have never been one up before. It should have been one up before they scored, which would have been interesting. Never got going in the second half, really. You need to get shots away quicker against better sides, as they seldom allow you time or space to size up the shot. Probably the reason we never took a deserved point. McCann, again, outstanding, as was Tate in the middle. Thought Big Call won every header he went for. 3 points next week at home, and we're back on track. Tough, yep. Could be tough. Kilmarnock will be tough because they've picked up certainly form. And then they got a good point away at Tannadice as well. So it'll be interesting. We'll do a preview episode on Thursday. Keep your eye out for that. But I'll come to you guys for Falkirk Daft Rated, because I've only seen the highlights. So what are you thinking, Falkirk Daft Rated? Lewis, you sort of said it was between two for you.
Yeah, for me, I thought Kyrell started the game really brightly. I just wanted to kind of give him a wee shout out for that reason. I thought he was having a really good game, causing them no end of problems against Harry Milne, who, you know, is chapping on the door of the national team. I think yeah. He's shown his versatility. But yeah, I think I was surprised that Leon maybe never got Player of the Month last month. But, you know, Hendo's been good for him as well. But Leon, just for me yesterday, it was absolutely fantastic.
Right, it's Leon for Lewis, Ross.
Yep, totally agree. I think if Kyrell had continued his playing in the second half to the standard that he had in the first, potentially Kyrell, but for me, Leon was superb yesterday. Not just doing what he's expected to do, which is obviously defend well, keep the ball away from our area, but one of the best crosses of the game in the second half for Barney. Just the Hearts defender just got his foot to it. But listen, Leon took a shitload of tackles into him yesterday. Honestly, he was smashed up and down the place. So I think just for that, he kept it really tight and tidy. I'm going to go Leon as well.
Well, there you go. Two in a row for Leon. He got last week's against Dundee United as well, which makes five for the season, the most Falkirk Daft Rated player of the season so far. So well done, Leon. We'll wait and see what happens at the end when we come to the awards at the end of the season. But he's certainly, Leon's going to be in contention for player of the year this year, I think.
Yeah,
have we got a Dafty?
It's always tough, especially after a defeat. If I really had to pick one, I'd probably have to say Louis, unfortunately. Not that it was bad, just as somebody mentioned on the kind of socials there, I thought the game did pass him by a wee bit. He's up against a good team, he's a young lad, he's still learning. I just kind of would like to see a wee bit more from him.
Yeah. Ross?
Out with the Falkirk team, just the moany Hearts fans in the ground. I just thought, yeah, just really, like, they shouted for every little thing, and you're like, come on, it's not even a foul. So other than the moany Hearts fans, I can't.
Let's go moany Hearts fans. Let's go moany, because of that, any excuse. There we go, moany Hearts fans. Great, fantastic. This is all wrapped up. We don't have to do Falkirk Daft versus, do we, Ross?
Oh, yes, we do, because I've got the questions.
I'm against bloody Lewis. The Encyclopedia of Falkirk.
I don't know. I've tried to what my record is so far, I don't know.
Yeah, all I would say, John, is if you lose,
you beat Ross,
just be the bigger man and stay on the podcast.
You rage quit the last time, didn't you?
I did.
Right, okay, right, okay.
Have you got your board ready?
I've got my board and I've got my pen.
Okay, so Lewis, you've done this before. You know it's a penalty shootout style quiz. John will write his answer down. Only once he has written his answer down, we'll come to your verbally, okay. And we'll see who wins the quiz. All right?
Cool.
Good stuff. Right. Okay, guys. Question number one. We have won more games than St Mirren, Killy, and Livy combined. Is that true or is that false? So we have won more games than St Mirren, Killy, and Livy combined. Is it true or is it false? Okay, John, you got something written down?
Yeah.
Lewis, your good self?
Do you know what? I think we probably have.
Okay, so you're saying true,
I'm
John?
I'm going to say we have actually won more than them all combined.
Also written true.
You're saying true as well. It is true. Yes, we've won 11 games, and the three of them combined have won 10. There you go. So that's a horrible, horrible start for them, but brilliant for us. Okay, one each. Question number two. You'll like this one, John. Who wears shirt number 30?
Oh, God.
Who wears shirt number 30?
I've written down. I think I might know this one.
Okay. Lewis, we'll come to you for a verbal answer.
I have gone totally blank on this.
Not
Totally
sure.
blank. What do you think? Yesterday's team 30, 30, 30. Is it Louis?
So you're saying Louis Marsh,
I'm gonna
John
say,
Boy?
yeah, my brain's gone blank. I'm gonna say Louis Marsh. I think it's him,
He's
but I'm
got
not.
shit hair, and we don't care that he's Louis
It is Louis
Marsh.
Marsh. Okay.
It is indeed Louis Marsh, yes.
Look at
2-2.
that, getting a bloody number one right. I've been swatted up.
Indeed. Well done. So 2-2. Question number three then. What was our heaviest home defeat this season so far? What is the heaviest home defeat this season so far? Actually, not so far, just because we're not going to have a worse one. So, what was our heaviest home defeat this season?
I can't think.
I can't think either. I'm struggling to think back
I'm just
to.
thinking of the teams we've got. I think it must be.
It's like trying to. We've actually been going pretty well at home. It's
I
tough to
know,
think
I know, I
who.
know, I know.
You got something written down, John?
I've got some written down, but I don't know if I can't think of another.
Okay.
I've got.
Lewis, we'll come to you.
I'm going to have to say, like, I'm struggling to think beyond St Mirren beat us 2-1, but I'm trying to think if anyone else
Is that your final answer?
scored three. And I can't think of it at home. I'm going to have to go with it. I can't think of.
Okay, so you're saying the 2-1 loss to St Mirren in September, I think it was, John.
I've went 3-2 against Dundee United. I know it's not as like I can't. I don't think we've lost
No,
by 2 goals. I don't think we've
that's what
lost
I'm
by.
thinking. Yeah, it's only one goal
I think we've
defeat.
only lost. I don't think we've lost
So.
by 2 goals. So I would say 3-2 is a heavier defeat because they scored 3 goals.
It's. Yeah, so you've not got this one right. The answer was back in December, Hearts beat us 2-0 at the
Ah,
stadium
shite. So you did.
on a
So,
very wet
yeah.
Saturday evening,
It was
unfortunately.
that was Kingsley second. I
Yeah, I remember the Kingsley goal. Couldn't remember the first of it, couldn't.
We lost by a lot
Braga,
there.
we scored it. It was like he scored in like the first minute.
30 seconds or something like that, yeah. Okay, so it's still 2-2, me Desmond. Question number four is a who am I, which I know John personally loves. So who am I? I was born in Berwick. I played over 200 games for Falkirk. Having signed from, looks like Lewis knows already, having
I think
signed
I
from
know it.
Blackburn Rovers, I played for Falkirk in the top league for 4 seasons whilst at the club, and I was also in a Scottish Cup final. I later
Oh,
signed for Hamilton Accies on a free transfer. Who am I?
that's not who I thought. I don't think it is who I thought.
So just to go, be born in
Can you go
Berwick,
again?
played over 200 games for Falkirk, having signed from Blackburn Rovers, I played for Falkirk in the top league for 4 seasons whilst at the club and also in a Scottish Cup final. I later signed for Hamilton Accies on a free transfer. Who am I? So John, I think Lewis knows this, so a little bit of pressure on you here.
Is that Andy Laurie?
You're saying Andy Laurie. I think he was born in Gala Shields from memory. I don't know why I
That's
know that.
yeah.
Lewis.
Born in and lives in Duns, just outside Berwick. It's Neil Oliver, I think.
And what's his shoe size?
He's an eight and a half in the
Of
left.
course it's Ollie. Of
It's
course it's
Ollie.
Ollie.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed, it is Ollie. Yes. Well done. So that's 3-2. John, you have to get this right and hope that Lewis doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. How many ex-Falkirk players were in the Hearts squad yesterday? So, how many ex-Falkirk players were in the Hearts squad yesterday?
So not 11, the actual squad in total.
Full match day squad. Match day squad.
What was it? There's always somebody you forget, isn't there?
I've written
Okay,
something
John, have
down.
you got something written down?
Yeah.
Okay. Lewis, come to you.
Right, there's the obvious one is Stephen Kingsley. Gives us
Yeah.
one, but I'm struggling to think of the logic of is there someone I'm missing? So, although Kingsley is the really obvious answer, was there another that I'm missing? No, I can't think of anyone else that I'm just gonna have to say Stephen Kingsley, assuming he was even on the bench.
So you're going for one. You're
I
going for
went
one.
for
Okay.
zero because Stephen
I
Kingsley's
don't
injured
know.
just now.
Oh, there we go.
It's 3-3. Jordan's correct. There was zero Falkirk players.
I didn't even look at the Hearts bench yesterday.
Boom!
Which means we are going to a tiebreaker.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, so tiebreaker time. Okay. So I'll be taking the closest two, obviously. What was the attendance, the overall attendance versus Dundee United last Saturday? So what was the attendance, the overall attendance versus Dundee United last weekend? Lewis, I will come to you.
I mean, we're averaging like 7,500, 8,000 most games. So do you want it like the nearest 100 or do you want the exact?
I'll go closest to, yeah. So just pop a number.
So between 7,500 and 8,000, I'll say 7,700.
7,700.
I've went 7,897.
7,897. Well, I'm going to tell you, one of you is only four away. It was 7,696. It is Lewis takes the win.
Oh!
He does. You better play those strings, John. Play the strings.
Gammy. I'd love to see that was skill with the last one, but
oh, man, well
tight
done,
game,
Lewis.
Boys, tight game.
Well done, Lewis. I should rage quit now, but no worries. I'm better man for that. Lewis, thanks as ever for joining us on Flop Daffy. We appreciate your time, mate.
Love being here, guys. Thanks again.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
God damn it! Should have. So I'm sure 7,897 is actually the stadium capacity, but then you've got to take into account of anyway.
Yeah.
Annoying. Anyway, that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Shout out to our sponsors. Obviously, Rumour Architecture sponsored this week, but also every week they sponsor us as Falkirk football fans in training. They've been with us over the course of this podcast and we really appreciate it, guys. They are at the stadium 8:30 to 9:30. They've got Elite Academy and Legends sections and over 50 sections as well. So if you fancy a kickabout, fancy helping your mental health, get down, play with the guys. All the details are below. Get in touch with Doogie, Willie or Ian. They'll sort you out it's a great bunch of guys, great laugh. Falkirk football fans training down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. And the Kelpies Cup, I'm still waiting on info from Ian. Ian, if you're listening, get the info. We need to find out about this Kelpies Cup so we can get down and support the lads at that. But all the details for the T8s are in the bio below. And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. We'll be back hopefully on Thursday with a preview episode. To talk about the Kilmarnock game. And as I say, Ross, it's like, you know, we've had a tough wee patch there, obviously beating off Dundee United, put that down to sending off, showed up well against Hearts. So, you know, we've got to keep it going, just got to put those games behind us. And if we keep playing the way we've been playing anyway, like, we're playing well against Dundee United, we're playing well against Hearts. If you just take some of those chances, you know, Kilmarnock are in decent form, they played well against Celtic, very unlucky to lose. Got a point at Tannadice. They'll fancy coming up to the stadium, and you know we've beaten them twice this season, so they'll want to come up and put a marker down, I'm guessing.
No, they really will. It'll be a tough game. However, as you've said, we have played very, very well, even in the games that we've lost recently. Our home record is pretty strong. We've not lost too many this season at home. So yeah, listen, and we're one win away.
Yeah,
that's how close we are, really. We're one win away. And one win combined with potentially a draw between United and Aberdeen on Tuesday night, that really could be it done.
Yeah, no, I think just one win and we're top six. We can start dreaming, start working. We can be kingmakers we could be going for Europe. That could happen. So fingers crossed. We'll be back hopefully then with the preview episode on Thursday. If we aren't, we will see you on the next one. But thanks very much for listening or watching to Falkirk Daft. We really appreciate it. You know, like a lot of people come up to us and tell us that you've listened or watched, and we really, really appreciate that you do that, listening to our shite. And remember, everyone, you know, we didn't lose yesterday, but we learned. Just remember that going forward. Whenever we lose, we learn. So just remember that going forward. Brilliant. Listen, check out our merch if you fancy getting some Falkirk Daft cover. You can do that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Links below. We've got a whole bunch of stuff on pints and prints. bearsoutwithbears.co.uk there as well. Thanks to Gordon. And if you want to discuss all things Bears out with the podcast, you can do that on our Discord channel. What reaction to the game yesterday, and to obviously the news of Aiden going up to Arbroath. So get on there, hook up, get involved in the chat. I sometimes jump on now and again as well, but I just kind of leave it to the young'uns, because it's more of a young'uns game, the old Discord. But get on there, weigh in, that would be great. Links are below. Great, that's us up the road. We'll see you on the next one, but until that time,
expect and expect it, buddy. I'm on the bends.
We're Falkirk Duff, we're Falkirk Duff, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Duff, we're Falkirk Duff, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Duff, we're Falkirk Duff, for everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bear. We're Falkirk Duff, we are Falkirk Duff.